Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Woo. Wow. Yeah. How many of you love to see God work? You do? How many of you are coming to love even more to find out how he's doing it? Yeah. Psalm 103 verse 7 says that Israel understood, they saw the acts of God. But Moses understood the ways of God. I want to understand his ways. I want to be so in sync with the Holy Spirit that as he's moving, I'm moving, and as he's thinking, I'm thinking. As he's releasing, I'm releasing. And I know why he's releasing. You want to know why? Yeah. Hallelujah. We're grateful, Father. We're really grateful. We're thankful. We're thankful people. We're a blessed people. We're a favored people. We're so grateful for that. We're so grateful that you came and you got us. And you brought us to yourself. You made us your sons. You made us your daughters. You've given us your kingdom. And you've made a way for us to bring your kingdom to everyone that we meet. We bless what's in your heart to do the remainder of our time together here. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Wow. It was really cool, that meeting that we had with the leader of it's Caring Hearts Ministry. It's a very large ministry. People. It's going to be probably a week of ministry there, so plus a couple days travel. To watch him share his heart this week, and it basically the cry of his heart, for they've been ministering to these people and pouring everything that they knew to do into their lives to help them. And to listen to the cry of his heart, the cry of his spirit man, that we know there's more. We know there's so much more. And they have all these churches, all these pastors that are wanting this more. They're tired, they're weary, and they want this power, they want this presence. And we believe that that's why we've been connected. And everything that they were saying was, we're doing that, we're doing that, we're doing that, we're doing that, we're doing that. We'll come and we'll bless you, we'll come and release it to these pastors. I guess there's something like 60 churches in this place, and they've got unity amongst them. They're all coming together. They're going to have a mass crusade for the whole. There's 200,000 people in this area. A mass crusade. They're expecting everybody to come to the mass crusade. And it was funny because he said, "Well, we're going to train the pastors to be the ushers." I said, "Don't waste your time. We're going to train them to do the praying and for the miracles to happen through their hands. That's what we're going to do. They're going to be right on the front line. All the pastors will be right on the front together with our team. The people are going to come. There's going to be tremendous miracles. They're all going to get saved. It's going to happen, and they're going to realize, who prayed for me? I said, Pastor, can I come to your church? And the body of Christ is going to be built up. One thing that we don't want to do, we have no desire to do, is to go somewhere and have them say, when can you come back again and do this again? Because then their focus is on us. We don't want anybody's focus on us. We're going to train them to do what Jesus did. And they're ready for it. And they're hungry for it. And they're excited about it. Hallelujah. I like to go where they're excited. Amen. Amen. A week from tomorrow, we'll be headed out to Ethiopia. I have two people here who are going, two more that aren't here today that are going. Oh, sorry. I'll leave ahead of you. Yeah, I'm taking the long way. Yeah. Praise God. So you can be in prayer for us. trust the Holy Spirit will bring you to our remembrance while we're there. It's our first time in Ethiopia. And they sent me an email saying that they are what they call off the chart excited. Because all they've heard is testimonies and all they've read reports, but they've never encountered this kind of thing ever. So I love to go, like the Apostle Paul said, he said, I make it my aim to go where the gospel of the kingdom's never been preached. What's the gospel of the kingdom? It's a gospel of power. That things happen and they happen now. Where God's kingdom comes in and sets them on fire. Amen. Hallelujah. What am I missing? This morning we tried to print the bulletins. The printer broke. I tried to start Nancy's car. The car wouldn't start. It's like, you know, only thing I could do is laugh. Yeah, you know, it's really feeble efforts on the part of the enemy to try to get us discouraged or get us distracted. Ain't working. Not in this house. It's not working. I'm not going to buy into it. I'm not going to accept it. You know what? God laughs at the enemy. I'm going to laugh. Same God living in me, see, living in you. We can laugh at every effort he makes to try to discourage us, stop us. Why? Because he's already defeated. He doesn't have to get defeated. He's already defeated. What's our part? Only believe. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yes. Yeah, we're having tomorrow night. We won't have the following Monday because I'll be gone. Well, you could have it if you want. It's just not at my house. Not at Nancy's house. Wow. Okay. This morning, we can start that now. She's already started it. I managed to get last week. Nancy's doing videos now. I got it up on YouTube, and we're going to be putting the Sunday messages, videos of them. We've had the audio up on there for years. Huh? Well, it's not organized yet. Right now, it's just got a URL number that you click on, and it takes you there. But Dick's going to put it up on the LFJ site and the EBC site so people can go there. I don't know. It's just, you know, we had so many requests from other nations for us to do that I guess it was just wasn't the right season, but now it is. And I can tell you that if you go back and you look at the messages a year ago compared to now, they're changed. Different. They told me the same thing. We just got back from the Philippines. Yeah. We got so every month we've been going somewhere. Just back from Tanzania, and one of the guy who is one of the organizers over there for LFJ, he's sitting there at the second session, and he's just shaking his head, and he come up to me and he said, "This is amazing." He says, "I thought it was good last year." He says, "It's the messages are so much deeper and so much more alive. It's just gripping us. What are you doing?" I said, "It's not me. I'm not doing anything. Maybe I'm more in faith, more trusting more. I don't know. But I do know this, that everything that happens by him." One of my favorite things to say is Zechariah. I'm going to look at that this morning. Zechariah. Chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It's not by our might. It's not by our power. But it's by the Spirit of God. Did you ever look at the context of that? We're going to look at the context of it. What is that? There's nothing that happens in the kingdom that's by our power, by our might, by our smartness, by our intelligence. There's nothing by our physical strength. There's nothing that happens in the kingdom. Oh, things happen. But there's nothing that happens in the kingdom of heaven. There's nothing that gets released in the kingdom of heaven except by the Holy Spirit. It's true. Most everywhere we go, when the leaders pray for people, they push them down on the floor. They push them down on the floor because they think that they need to, in Jesus' name, that they need to put their force behind it, you know? And they're just amazed. I said, you're not going to see us do any of that. You're not going to see us yelling and screaming. You're not going to see us, you know, doing crazy, wild stuff. You're going to see God doing some stuff that your head's not going to be able to figure out. But you're going to see lots of miracles, lots of healings, lots of people getting free. You're going to see salvations, and it's going to come not by our power. All of it, not by our power. Took us a few years. But most of the world, I tell you, is still that way where they think it's by their force. They need to give the Holy Spirit a little help. I'm going to help you, Holy Spirit. And it's funny because they get, you know, even when we start training them, we get them going praying for people. And they still want to get some of that. Then I just put my arm around them. I said, it's okay. You can relax. God's going to do it. You don't have to, you know, their face gets red. The veins bulge out of their neck. You know, it's amazing. If I were to say, are you willing to do whatever God wants you to do? What would you say? Would you say yes? Okay, most all believers would say yes. But why is it that most believers don't do that much? Don't go that much? What is it? It's not a matter of willingness. I think the main reason is because we don't know if we're hearing God or not. We don't know if this is really God speaking to me or it's me speaking to me. Or maybe it's an evil spirit speaking to me and trying to fake me out. Because of that uncertainty of not knowing that it is absolutely God speaking these words to me, we don't move. I want to settle that for you. You want to settle that? You want to get that issue resolved? I'm not the only one that's had that issue, right? No. Okay. Look at this. Let's start in 1 John. Hallelujah. 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 I could sing like a girl. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Wow. Confidence of knowing. Okay, confidence of knowing if we ask anything according to his will. Okay, here comes the next question. How do I know it's his will? Right? We think so many times, well, maybe it's just my good thinking, my good ideas is it really God that is it his will for my life? Is it his will for my life? And that's, you know, how much doubt does it take to stop the move of God? How small can you get your fingers together? Microscopic amount of doubt. There could be zero doubt. We have to know that we know this is God's will for me. This is what God is saying. And you say, well, man, how's this going to happen? He just does this for special people, right? Are you born again? You're all special. He's living in you. He's become one with you. Your spirit and the Holy Spirit are one. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit continually searches the heart and mind of the Father for the Father's thoughts towards you, which are like the sand on the beach, it's endless. Like the waves of the ocean just keep coming and coming and coming. The Father's thoughts towards you. He doesn't just like once a month think about, think about my son, Len. What should I think about him today? No. It's every day. Continual thoughts. And the Holy Spirit living in us searches the Father's heart. Searches his thoughts for his thoughts towards you, about you. He searches it not just to hold it in himself, not just keep it private, but to release it to you. To give it to you. That's your inheritance. That's your privilege, your right as a son, as a daughter of God, is to hear God speak. You know, all you have to do is think, well, I don't know if I hear God speak. Well, there's enough doubt there that you're not going to hear him speak. Jesus said, I know my sheep, and my sheep hear my voice. Are you the sheep of God? Are you the son of God? Then you do hear his voice. Then begin believing that. That's where we start, okay? Okay, here's another thing to start. Number one is, what's your desire when you ask him? Are you asking selfishly? Are you asking according to flesh? Are you asking to advance your personal name or your personal estate or to get bonused somehow personally? Are you asking for his kingdom benefit? Are you asking for Jesus, things that will glorify Jesus? If your reason for asking is to bring glory to Jesus through that, you're going to hear him. You're going to hear him. If you believe, you're going to hear him. Jesus said, hey, according to what you believe, according to your faith, that's what will be done unto you. If you believe I only talk to some, if you believe I only speak once in a great while, if you believe you gotta come before the throne, put your hands on the horns of the altar and cry night and day, God, do something. If you believe that, you'll get. Not necessary. There's no more crying, no more begging. Not for a son of God, not for a daughter of God. Jesus completely opened the way, completely made the way. You have free access to the throne of grace 24/7. No matter how messed up you are, he don't see your mess. He sees you, the spirit man, the spirit woman who he created. He says, come on, come to me. I got everything you need. He has everything you need. There's nobody else in this world that has everything you need. In fact, most people think they got something you need, but they really got nothing. It's Jesus. He's the only one that has everything you need. And if your desire is, I'm going to bring glory to you, I will bring glory to you. And if your prayer is in that direction, okay, what kind of prayers would that be? What's an example of a prayer that would bring glory to Jesus? Yeah, okay, going to Mexico, yeah. What? Why? You want to go to, because you want to bring his kingdom to people. You want to see him flow through you like you've never seen before. You want to see blind eyes open up underneath your hands, right? Yeah, as he's living with you. You want to see Jesus get glory amongst the people who have been praying and crying out for the reality. And God says, I'm going to show them how real I am, but I'm going to do it through you. I'm going to do it through you and you. That's how he wants to do it, right? Yes? Oh, so I tell people, you want to know the will of God? Hebrews chapter 1, the first chapter, says that Jesus is the express image of the Father. If you see it in the life of Jesus, you see the heart of the Father. Look at the Gospels. What did Jesus do? He healed everyone that came to him, right? Why? So we would know the will of the Father. He set all the captives free. Everybody that wanted to be free, he didn't obviously set everybody free. He set those who wanted to be free. But he paid the price for anyone to be free. Didn't he? What did he do? He blessed people. He lifted people up. He took them out of the pit, picked them up, washed them off, and gave them respect, gave them a place of honor, gave them a place of, of realizing that their life is worth something and it's valuable and it's precious. That's Jesus. That's the heart of the Father. That's the will of God. So anytime you want to help somebody who's downtrodden, downcast, they're hurting, they're in the gutter, physically, emotionally, spiritually, it is the will of the Father. It is His will. And you can pray according to that and know that, he, according to 1 John chapter 5, that He's hearing you and He's already given you the answer to your request. It was already issued before you ever prayed. He said confidence, and this is the confidence. We need to have confidence, not in ourselves. The confidence is in Him, in what He has done, and with the price that He has paid, and in the fact that He's living inside of us. Our confidence is in Him. He's become one with us, and now He's going to live through our hands, live through our feet, speak through our mouth. The confidence of that. If you believe it, if you believe it, the Spirit of God sees the faith, and then His ministry is to release the truth as He sees faith. If He sees doubt, He can't release it, because he's a faith God. He operates in the realm of faith. Amen? Look at Zechariah. Let's go to Zechariah. Zechariah 4. It's right near the end of the Old Testament. So that's like right before Matthew, right? Zechariah and then Prophet Malachi is the last one. Zechariah chapter 4. The story behind this is Zerubbabel was weighed down by a sense of failure. Zerubbabel was heavy laden with a very big sense of failure, like my life is gone, it's over, I just can't do anything. Zechariah gets his vision in verse 6, says, so he answered and said, the angel answered and said to him, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Okay, what's this? If I'm not going to go through the whole context of all this, but what he's saying is this continuous supply of oil to light the lamps. There's a continuous supply of oil to keep the lamps lit. He's saying this continuous supply of oil is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. The spirit is symbolized by oil, right? Holy Spirit is symbolized by oil. He's saying you will come to a place where there will be a continuous supply of the Holy Spirit. Like we looked at last week, Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Yes? That there's now a new law operational within us. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Not the law of sin and death. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And that law has set you free, and the law is the law of the Holy Spirit Himself. He is the law, which means as long as you're trusting in Him, He'll always do it. He'll always release. He'll always set free. He'll always heal. He'll always bring provision. He'll always release favor. He'll just continuously do it. It's a nonstop flow of oil to bring light. That's probably the greatest thing that I've noticed in the last year is the light. You know, when His light comes, I won't remember which psalm it was, but it says, in His light, there is light. When the Spirit of God releases the light of God, we see what we could not see any other way. When He releases the light of God, we begin to see who we really are. We begin to see that we're spirit people. We're spirit men, spirit women who are filled with the life of God, who are called, appointed, and anointed with a destiny that is so powerful that it's mind-boggling. Our human mind cannot comprehend the things that God has got for us. But that's there for you. You're looking at me. You're looking at me funny. not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? What mountain? Any obstacle that is in your way, in your mind, in your life, physical, natural, physical, emotional, any material, it doesn't matter. Any obstacle standing in your way is a mountain. And he says, for Zerubbabel, what was it? I mean, the guy was depressed. He had an extreme sense of failure going on. He thought he was done. You ever thought that? I just can't go on. I can't go on. I just can't live this way anymore. I can't do it. Just kill me. You ever say that? You ever feel that? It's a mountain. Okay. You're going to have lots of mountains. And in this life, we're going to have lots of mountains that are going to just pop up in front of you. And then you turn to the left, you don't want to pop up on the left of you. You turn to the right, there's another one pops up there. You say, I'm going back. You turn around, one pops up there. It's mountains, obstacles, resistance all around. What does he say? He says, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. That literally means you should become insignificant. You should become as nothing. You should become of having zero effect. How? What does he say? And he shall bring forth the capstone. What's a capstone? What's a capstone? Like we're building something. We're building this great, beautiful monument. When it's all done, when perfection has arrived, we take a capstone and put it on the top. When God created you, the Holy Spirit became the capstone. He finished it. He made you perfect. He made your spirit person perfect, holy, righteous, anointed. He made your spirit person, not talking about your body or your head. That's in the process. Your head's in the process of change. Talking about your spirit person. That's the real you. That's the real you. You're a spirit man. He said, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. What's that? With shouts of, look what I've done. This is all me. You had nothing to do with it. It was not your power. It was not your might. It's because of my love, because you're my child. I did it all for you. That's grace. Shouts of grace, grace. Angels are shouting, grace, grace on this life. Grace, grace, I see it, God, on this life. Grace, grace, I see it on this life. You have nothing to do with it. Our part's to just believe and receive and enjoy the goodness of the Lord. The goodness of the Lord. Romans 8:26 says we don't know how to pray for as we should. It doesn't say sometimes you don't know how to pray for as you should. We never know how to pray for as we should. That's why it says you don't know how to pray as you ought to. Romans 8:26. But, I love God's buts. But the Holy Spirit who's living in you. But the Holy Spirit who's living within you intercedes for you. Speaks through you, prays through you. He knows the heart of the Father. And he and your spirit have become one. You say, but I don't feel like I'm one. Well, stop thinking that. That's not true. Let's believe what the scriptures say. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, you've been made one. Your spirit and the Holy Spirit have become one. Atom for atom, molecule for molecule, you are identical. You have been merged, fused together. He'll never leave you. He'll never separate you. He'll never forsake you. He doesn't go away and come back. You become one. Believe it. He's the one. He's doing the speaking. He's the one who reveals to you the will of the Father for your life. He's the one that sees the plan of the Father for your entire life. He plans your life before you were ever born into this world. He plans your entire life, and he has a monumental, huge events ahead for you. And the Spirit of God releases within you a word. You say, well, how? I'll tell you one way to know that it's God speaking. It's probably impossible. Because he works in the realm of the impossible because he's miraculous. And if it's something you could easily do, it's probably not him. Eh? Romans 8:16 says what? The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. The Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit. It's an internal thing. It's saying that the Holy Spirit is the one that guides us. And he does that by bearing witness with our spirit person. All right, now I'm gonna share with you something that has really helped me. It took me a blasted lot of years to figure this out. Especially, you know, for those who are, you know, they've had an education, and they're trained to think a lot and logically figure things out. And, you know, anybody else here like that? Okay, you've had an education to train you how to figure things out, right? Train you how to reason things out, how to figure issues out, right? Yeah. Okay. Now, I used to think that You the only way to hear from God is to do nothing with that. Don't try to figure anything out. I don't believe that. Now, I believe that God gives us our soul. He gives us the ability to rationalize things, to put together facts, to put together the situation, okay? But then we need to come to the place where we stop the rationalization. And we, now that we've got all the facts, and we make a switch, and we completely forget that and completely trust in him now to give us direction in that. I don't know if you got that or not. I'm telling you a secret that I have learned in fellowship with the Holy Spirit on how to hear God, how to get direction from the Spirit of God. There's something that you feel, well, I want to go this way. I don't know if I should go this way. Okay, what do you do? You put together all the facts. You can use your logic, your rationale for that to put together the facts. It's like a storage bin, okay? You put them together. But we never, never, never make a decision based upon our rational mind. We can never make a decision based upon our logic. It's got to come out of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows the future that he has for you. The Holy Spirit knows the plans of God. Your rational mind does not know that. Your rational mind can gather facts, can put together information, but is not capable, nor did God design us to be capable, to figure things out enough to make a decision. But we do it all the time. We do it all the time. Because we're trained in the world to figure, to make decisions based upon what we have logically figured out. But I've got this, 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 and this. It only makes sense. When you got it all figured out, do not make a decision. Leave it. Turn away. Now step into the realm of the decision maker. Step into the realm of the one who created you and has the plans for you. Step into the Holy Ghost realm and say, here I am. I've got all that information. Now I'm not making any decisions. I'm going to wait on you and trust in you to give me direction. And if you will do that, you will save yourself so many heartaches, so many hurts, so many trips around the mountain
I like it better moving the mountain out of the way than I do taking a trip all the way around it. It takes so much time, and the view's not that good. I like it better, this mountain, move in the name of Jesus. You're in my way to do the will of the Lord. But it's going to have to move. So what's the first thing? Let's find out what his will is. If you don't know, go ahead. Use your mind to put together the facts. Put together all the things that are being said about it and figured out about it. And then you take that and you set it on the table. And you do not make a decision based upon that. But you wait. There's something else that I've learned. The Holy Spirit speaks in stillness. The still, small voice of the Holy Spirit needs to speak, and it can only be heard when your heart is still. It's like this morning, the world and the enemy, they're constantly trying to get us distracted and caught up and worried and anxious about so many things, you know. And why? Because it disturbs the peace on the inside. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, let the peace of God be the umpire. Let the peace of God be the umpire in every decision. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let his peace rule in your heart. Don't ever let anything else rule in your heart. Not worry, not anxiousness, not fear or trepidation, not overly concerned about things, not your mind revolving around this issue again and again and again, trying to figure out how to do it. No. You want to hear him? Your heart needs to be at peace. Your heart needs to be still, and you'll hear him. Maybe some of you are like I was for years. I got all this stuff to tackle. I got all this stuff to get done. I gotta go. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. And on the inside, scattered. There's no peace. There's anxiousness about how it's going to happen, and I can't hear his voice. You know how many times I began to hear his voice after I landed in a hospital bed or after I broke my femur and couldn't do anything? Oh, man, I started hearing his voice really good. Why? There's nothing I can do with all that stuff, so I'm not touching that stuff. I'm just going to let my inside get quieted down, let the peace of God get back in me to abide in me, dwell in me. Now I can begin to hear. And I started hearing things that I hadn't heard in years because I'm too blasted busy trying to do what I thought needed to be done. Now, I'm not saying that, you need to stop outside activities. Jesus was very busy. But on the inside, it was a sea of glass. There was no unsettled on the inside. None. Have you ever gone to a pool of water, and as long as it's ripply, you look down, all you see is ripples. You go to a pool of water that's flat, calm, what do you see? Your reflection. That's the way our heart needs to be. Like the sea of glass. So I want to encourage you, don't make decisions out of anxiousness. Don't make decisions out of worry or stress. Don't make decisions out of compulsion because you feel you have to. Don't make decisions because you rationalize and you think it's the right thing to do. Don't do that. If you rationalize it and you think it's right, and you put it on the table and you don't touch it until the Holy Spirit confirms with your spirit. Amen. Let me tell you, you'll know it. You'll know it. There will be total peace, total calm. I wish I had known that 10 years, 15 years, even 5 years ago. Sort of saved myself and my wife and everybody around me so much grief. I hope you're receiving this. Are you?
So there's two extremes I see in this, okay? One is okay, I'm going to figure everything out. I'm going to rationalize everything. I'm not going to hear him. The other extreme is I'm going to empty my head of everything. I'm not thinking about nothing. I'm not even going to think about this issue at all, period. That's the other extreme. What does that do? That invites demons to come in and occupy your empty head. Serious! I'm serious! They'll bring their buddies too, yeah. Okay, gonna be like, what's this guy getting into a cult now? What's with this? I'm just totally resting in God, man. That's the two extremes. God gave you a natural mind to use the natural mind as a collection agency, but never to depend upon it to make a decision. Never! You have the Holy Spirit to do that. But what if I don't, you know, what if I don't hear anything? What if I don't see anything? You know, I'm waiting a week, 2 weeks. Keep waiting. Keep waiting. He's probably saving you a lot of heartache. Keep waiting. It's okay. He'll I tell you, one of the main ways for me is I just begin to see situations and circumstances come together. I begin to see things lining up. Oh, that only God could do. Wow. Okay. And I know in my heart, complete peace. I'm flooded with peace on the inside. That's it. Now I can take the step. That's it. Now I can take the step. You know, there would be something wrong with me if I didn't give you things that have helped me. Just kept them to myself. Because I want you to be able to help people the same way. Amen? All right, now let me show you. There's one thing I really, okay, I'm excited to share with you, but I got to save it till the end. I got to save it. Yes. There is a scripture, okay? I'm telling you, when you come in the light, the Holy Spirit corrects. Never with judgment, never with condemnation, never releasing guilt. He's not going to do that. You come in the light, you see, okay? And if you see something, some lie that you've believed, what do you do with it? Oh, okay, you see it was a lie, and you dump it. I'm going back there again. But we need to be in his light for that. He just recently took me into the light concerning this one issue. I mean, he takes me in the light more and more all the time, but I want to share with you this one issue, okay? Because maybe some of you are in this position. This is recent for me, like last week, okay? If you look at Proverbs chapter 23, you have probably heard this, and you've probably heard it from me over the years, okay? As a man thinks in his heart, so he is, so his life goes. You heard that? Okay, what do most, 99% of the people say in that? That Psalm, you want to know the verse? Psalm 23, verse 7. Okay, the first thing is, always read the verse in context, please. Many times, it's taken way out of context, spreads through the body of Christ, and you got all these people believing a lie. Just read it in context. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Okay, what is the general understanding of that? The general understanding is, okay, you need to think on things that are scriptural, that are godly, that if you do that, you'll start seeing your life get changed. Right? You need to focus on scripture, focus on the Bible, and begin to think on those things. That's not what it's talking about at all. Now, what does that do? It gets us, it's just like going back to the garden and being like Adam and picking the apple off the tree. It's works. There's something we're doing. What are we doing? Oh, we're memorizing scripture now. Oh, that's going to get my life together. Oh, I'm packing my head full of scripture now. That's going to get my life back together. You see, it's subtle, but I'm telling you, it'll get you off track. What did Jesus say? John chapter 14, verse 6. He said, you want to know the way, how to get your life together? Jesus said, I am the way. It has nothing to do with what you do. Jesus said, I am the way. My life is the way. I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You're looking for truth. You're looking for life. You're looking for the way in your life. I am the way. And he's living in you. The one who knows the way for your life, has the plan for your life, is living in you. We don't need to look on the outside. We don't need to look at trying to do things to better our life. You don't. It's not about doing. It's about understanding who you are and having fellowship and communion with him and letting him speak to you, letting him lead you. Oh, yeah. Are you with me? So, look at the context of this verse. Verse 6, do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks, he's talking here about somebody who's trying to pull something over on you. Somebody who on the inside of them, they got a different motive than what you're showing you on the outside. Somebody who's trying to blindside you. Okay, that's what he's talking about here. He's not talking at all about what the church takes the scripture to mean. He's talking about this guy who's trying to take advantage of you and to fake you out, to make you think he's got your best interests at heart. But really, on the inside, he's a miser. He's out to get your money. He's out to rob from you and steal from you. But on the inside, but you can't see it. You only see his offer of helping on the outside. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up. You ever read the whole thing? That's a little different understanding than the way the church pretty much takes that verse, right? That's a lot. You know who's taking it? Self-help groups all over the world. People who do not operate out of the Holy Ghost, they operate out of their soul. They operate demonically. The 12-step program that's gotten into, even in the church, okay, it operates that way. It's just Jesus. It's just Jesus. It's just faith in him who's living in you for him to live his life through you. It's just faith. Don't say that's too easy, Tony. If you're thinking that's too easy, then you've had too much religion. We're seeing people all over the world get church leaders radically free because they're bound in tradition, they're bound in religion. And when they find out, it's just simply have faith in the one who saved you to live his life through you. They're getting free. And they're being able to do what they could never do before. And they're not giving up on ministry anymore. Wow. Wow. What is he really talking about here? He's talking about the heart of a person. You will be able to tell the heart of a person. You'll be able to tell what kingdom he's attached to. Is it the demonic kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, or the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven? He's talking about the heart. This guy's heart is demonically inspired. The Holy Spirit will show you. How many of you, somebody's talking to you and they're saying something, it's flattering, what they're saying is flattering, but you on the inside you know, this is not real. This guy's blowing smoke. Am I the only one that gets these folks? But you know, your head's not going to be able to comprehend this, but on the inside of you, in your spirit, you know this is not truth. This is not right. This guy's coming out of the kingdom of darkness. He's operating in darkness. So let him go. Let him go on and talk. See the love of Jesus Christ for this person, and then bless him. But don't buy into what he's saying. You bless him. You release life. ask the Holy Spirit to show you something that you can release to this guy that will bless him. Amen? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, 31, he said, he's talking about, why do you worry? Why do you worry? Look at the flowers. Do they stress? Look at the birds of the air. Do they stress? Why do you worry? And he says, take no thought. He said, don't entertain those thoughts. Don't allow them to come in, because they are going to rob you of the peace of God in your heart, which allows you to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to say, is this making sense to you? I'm going to say, are you hearing God? Is the Spirit of God speaking to you? I'm sharing things with you that have radically changed my life and are continuing to change my life. And church leaders all over the world are swallowing this up because it's setting them free. There's all these self-help philosophies that are out there. You don't even New Age operates that way. It says, hey, you just get your thinking in line with what you want. Okay, you want a big house, you keep thinking about the big house. You want a big new car, you keep thinking about the big new car. And then you just declare, the car is mine, the car is mine. And it gets into the church, okay? Where they're way the heck out in left field. When Jesus said, Mark chapter 11, he said, whatever things you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received them, have already received them, and it will be yours. The church, some of the church has got way the heck whacked out and says that you can just declare anything you want. No. Well, no, what's the first guideline here? What's going to bring glory to Jesus, not what's going to bring glory to Tony? What's going to bring glory to Jesus and advance his kingdom? If that's your heart, you go ahead and ask. But if your heart is what you want for yourself, Yep. We have only one method. We have only one method. We have only one doer of the work. That's Jesus. That's it. Jesus is our method. Do you see how liberating that is? You see how liberating it is? I don't have to try to do all this stuff. I can just trust in you, Jesus, living in me. And Holy Spirit, you'll release it. See how liberating that is? That the stress, stress, worry, anxiety causes 90%+ of all the sicknesses and diseases in the world. Do you know that? Become is stressed out. Okay, it's bad enough. Disease is coming, but we're not hearing God. I'm done with that. I'm done with it. I'm done with it. Look at this, Philippians chapter 2. Are you done with it? Say it. I'm done with it. Philippians chapter 2. I love this. Oh, I love this. Oh, this is not the exciting thing I wanted to share with you. I love this. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says, for it is God, say, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It's God. If you're going to walk in the Spirit, it will be God who's doing the work in you. Number one, to will. You say, how do I know? If you're trusting in him, Your faith is in him who is living within you. He will let you know his will. It is God in you, working in you, not you working. It's God in you working to will and to do according to his good pleasure, according to his plan for your life. It's him working. It's him working in you. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. What does it say? Mm-hmm. It's not by your power. It's not by your might. It's by the Spirit. He's working in you. He gives you. He gives you the desires of his heart. You think he's not going to answer that? The key for us is, are we hearing? Are we hearing? Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. This is cool. He says, oh, stupid Galatians. Foolish. Okay. Oh, stupid Galatians, who has bewitched you? What? He's talking to Christians. He's saying they've been bewitched. Huh. So what is he? Oh, foolish Galatians. Foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? That means by something you did. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? Or by the hearing of faith? Is there anybody in this place that you think you got saved by something you did? You heard? And here's the beauty of the gospel. He wasn't even waiting for you to have faith. He came. His word came pregnant with his faith. And you had his faith to believe. Wow. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now being made perfect by the flesh, by what you do, by your figuring it out? Is that how you're now advancing? He said, are you so foolish? I don't know if you've ever noticed this. Look at this script, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is amazing. I say that a lot, don't I? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 3. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit, capital S, of God, calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Think about this. No one can say that Jesus is Lord. No one can get saved except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, you hear the word? What happens? The Holy Spirit comes. He comes to you. He releases faith to you. He releases the faith of God to you. Okay? And then You believe in your heart, and when does the transaction occur? When do you become born again? The moment of faith. So the first words that come out of your mouth before, this is blew me away when I saw this. Okay, before you even confess with your mouth, you believed in your heart. When you believed in your heart. New creation, new spirit, and then you speak the words of confession, It's the Spirit of God now who is speaking those words together with your new spirit, because your mind is clueless about all of this. The Spirit of God is actually speaking. He said nobody can say Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit, without the Spirit of God speaking. So he comes in and he speaks the first words through us. Jesus, you are Lord. We gotta get a bigger picture of how big our God is, of how much involved and engaged he is in our salvation. Not just in the beginning, but he says the way you got saved in the beginning, the Spirit of God did everything for you. He will continue to do everything for you all the way through our walk of Christianity. It's not one iota to do with our brilliance, our power, our ability, our learning. Not nothing to do with that, but everything to do with him and trusting him. Everything. Wow. 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 Nothing in this world impresses me like God. Nothing. That's nice. That's nice. But God, let's talk about God. He impresses me. All right, here's where I want to take you. I want to leave you with this, okay? The way that God began in the beginning, at creation, he's still working the same way today. You want to know the ways of God? He's still doing it the same way today. How did he do it? The Father had the thought of creation. Jesus, if you read it in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, Jesus is called the Word, right? Jesus, the Father had the thought. Jesus, who all authority had been given to him, he spoke the Word. He spoke, let there be light. And the Spirit of God, here's the Trinity, all three parts. The Father has the original thought. It goes to Jesus, who speaks, who declares the word of faith. Jesus speaks the word, the same Jesus in you. He speaks the word of faith. And the Spirit of God, when he hears that word of faith, he takes it and he manifests. It says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, that the Spirit of God was brooding over the darkness. There's nothing but darkness all over the world. And Jesus speaks, let there be light. And the Spirit of God hovers over the waters. And he's like a mother hen. He's got the words. He's manifesting the release of those words. He's manifesting. He's still the same today. We get the thought from the Father's heart. We now, in us, we speak the word of faith. Jesus is in us. Now, he's waiting for us to speak the word of faith. We get the thought. We get the idea from the Father. The Spirit of God releases that idea. Now, when we know that's the will of God, we speak that word of faith. When we speak that word of faith, the Spirit of God who's within us superintends over that word and manifests it. He's still operating the same way. So what's the important thing? Let's hear him. Let's know what his will is. Let's be bold and courageous and declare it. Fully convinced, with not one bit of doubt, this is the will of the Lord for my life. This is the will of the Lord in this situation. This is the will of the Lord that this person will recover. This is the will of the Lord. You declare it, and the Spirit of God, whoa, still operating the same way as at the time of creation. The Trinity, Father comes with the thoughts. He comes with the desires. Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, speaks through you. For me to live is not for me to try to be like Jesus. For me to live is Christ. It's Him Himself speaking through me, speaking through you. Those words of faith, when those words are released, Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. My words, when they are released, the Holy Spirit rides on those words, manifests. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. Don't get that disease, foot in the mouth disease, where you speak too fast. I know you don't know what I'm talking about, right? No. Yeah. For me, I always used to, you know, put my foot in my mouth, but I didn't. I just put a big foot in my mouth every so often instead of little foots every day. So I'd create bigger messes instead of a lot of little ones. But no more. That's what God wants to do. He's still creating. He's the creator. The creator is in you. You know, it's not just this three dimensions we live in. There's the fourth dimension, the reality of the kingdom of heaven. It's all around us. And we are to declare the things that have been given, granted, released in the heavenly realm with our name on them. And yet we are to declare those things and grab a hold of them and release them, and release them, and release them. If you got somebody standing in front of you that's messed up, guess what? It's not an accident. It's not coincidence. God knew they were going to be standing before you were ever born. And He's waiting for you to speak a word of faith so the Holy Spirit can go touch that life. Amen. We don't need to judge people. Just speak a word. He'll give you the word. He'll give you the word. Maybe you're thinking, well, that doesn't happen very much with me. That's probably because your heart's been unsettled. Probably because you've been too busy on the inside. Probably because you've been anxious and worried and stressed about things, okay? All right, here's what we're going to do. Everybody, you got your toilet. Everybody got your toilet? You bring it with you. Whether you see it or not, you bring your toilet with you, okay? We're going to take all that stuff. Worry, anxiety, stress, headache, problems, put it in there. Come on, I'm not the only one with that stuff. Is that what I sound like? The reason it's a toilet, okay, is because you can't pull back out what you've flushed. And that stuff that we let bother us is just as real poo-poo as the other stuff. This week, we're going to hear from God. You say that? This week, I'm going to hear from God. Say that. I'm going to hear from God. Yeah. This week, I'm going to know the will of the Father for my life. This week. I'm going to know the will of the Father for my life this week. I'm not trying to convince you. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. You can know it this week. Don't doubt. Flush it. Amen. Amen. Okay.